This is a special recording of Taste Matters, part of a series in conjunction with the opening of the Next World's Fair, Expo Milano 2015, where the U.S. will be participating with the USA Pavilion, themed American Food 2.0, United to Feed the Planet.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning and welcome to Taste Matters. I'm your host, Mitchell Davis, Executive Vice President of the James Beard Foundation. And if you've been listening to us lately, you know that we've been doing a series of special episodes of Taste Matters on the topic of the Next World's Fair. That's Expo Milano 2015, which opens in Milan on the 1st of May and runs for 6 months through October 31st. And the reason we're talking about it, well, there are many reasons we're talking about it. One of them is that I myself am the Chief Creative Officer of the USA Pavilion at Expo Milano. And so we're deeply involved in what's going on. And the reason that I'm there, and again, another reason we're talking about it, is because the theme of this World's Fair for the first time in more than 160 years is food, particularly how we will feed the planet. Feeding the future, energy for life is how they articulate it. And every country, there's 147 of them participating, is building a pavilion or engaging in that conversation about how we'll feed the future from their own unique perspective. In the United States, the theme of our pavilion is American Food 2.0, United to Feed the Planet. And we'll be looking at all different American perspectives on food security and nutrition and farming and all sorts of things. And also, of course, on food culture. And one of the aspects of our programming and one of the things that we are representing in American food culture that's so hot today is the trend of food trucks, which as we travel around the country, no matter where you go, have become such an important part of the dynamism of an American city, big or small. And I think a real place of excitement and creativity and entrepreneurship and even social responsibility, which is going to be one of the topics we talk about. And as we talk about the American Pavilion in global media, even though we will be dealing with issues about innovation and technology and science and research and history and heritage and farming, all the journalists want to hear more about our food trucks. And in fact, food trucks in Italy, there's a national organization of food trucks in Italy that was just founded a year ago, and it started with 12 members a little more than a year and a half ago of people who've converted their little three-wheeled Piaggios, their grandfather's vehicles, into food-serving vehicles. And now they have 75 members, and they do 12 events around the country, or they'll do 12 this year, that attract more than 75,000 people over the course of a weekend. And so this is a global trend, and we'd like to take some credit for it, I think. And not that street food is a new phenomenon, really, in the history of eating, but certainly the idea of food trucks and the creativity and entrepreneurship and artisanship that they represent is really important. And so we're going to be talking today about both that phenomenon in the United States and also how we'll be representing it in Italy with two people intimately involved in the food truck scene, well, in the American Pavilion and the food truck scene. First, with me is Elizabeth Thacker-Jones, who is our culinary producer and who has been thinking about how we'll represent American food trucks in Milan at the World's Fair. Thank you for joining us, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Mitchell.
And then we're excited to have with us Jordan Lexton, who is the founder and executive director of Drive Change, which is both a phenomenon of food truck and street eating and creativity, but also adds a social conscience to that. And we're really delighted to have you here to talk about this trend and what you're doing.
Thanks. I'm really happy to be here.
So Elizabeth, let's start with you and just set us up. Like, why? In fact, just the other day, I was at a meeting of the James Beard Foundation, and there were some people there who thought, oh, I don't know that we should be representing food trucks as sort of the height of American eating. But what's going on? What do they mean?
Well, so many different things, honestly. You know, it sometimes it seems simple in some ways because you have this. The structure that is a truck that has so many different qualities in what it does for commerce and for the world to function, right? And then you have technology on the other side, which plays such an important role. And so it's almost like we're going back to this old way of thinking about how we access food and how we start a business. So, you know, entrepreneurship, mobility, food access, you know, all of these issues are come out in a way that sometimes feels so impactful, because food trucks build community and they bring people together.
That's probably a good segue to you, Jordan. Tell us about your unique approach and how you came, how Drive Change came to be and what it's about.
So Drive Change is a food truck social enterprise. We operate locally sourced food trucks that hire and empower young people coming home from jail and prison. So I was a teacher on Rikers Island and struck by the detrimental impact of the criminal justice system on young people in particular. New York actually still automatically arrests 16-year-olds like they're adults. So at 16, you're sent to Rikers Island and you're treated like an adult inmate. And then if you are convicted, you leave with a real felony on your record, which means getting a job, going back to school. Barriers to reentry are just really nearing insurmountable. And unfortunately, a lot of young people recycle back into the system despite their wantingness to go on and live crime-free, bright futures. So there was an element of a shared meal that I think is a remarkably powerful thing. And I think the mobility, when we think about food trucks, when Drive Change was formed in concept, it was this notion that we could both start a creative business, be entrepreneurs, not have a ton of overhead capital to get into the field, but also that the mobility would allow us to go out into community and connect with people. There's no back of the house in a food truck. And that's a really important thing. It's important for our customers, and it's important for the young people that we employ and empower, because that moment of human connection, we believe, is helping to dispel stigma about what it means to be formerly incarcerated. And we engage in the conversation. We believe in that moment of human connection at our food truck.
Well, so I think you both hit from a separate place this idea of community building through these mobile businesses, these mobile enterprises. Let's expand it a little bit more. I'm not sure everyone listening knows what back of house means, or what you imply, where, you know, where perhaps some of the people who are working in your trucks now interacting with people might otherwise fit in the food system if they were to go that way.
Right. So instead of being, you know, a line cook and being never interacting really with the customer from a face-to-face perspective, never having to have that human connection and interaction, or being a dishwasher, or being, you know, behind the scenes and being so central and integral in the process of what a meal actually takes, the food truck totally just deconstructs that, because you see everything. So there's also a level of accountability. And I think, you know, sometimes there's a sort of misconception that if something's coming off a truck, it's not necessarily healthy. Like that there's this idea that with the urban element of industrial trucks, that the quality of the food is somehow tainted. But I think that we've seen with the trends of food trucks, and what it seems like the Pavilion is also trying to demonstrate, is that very high-end gourmet and consciously sourced product is coming off of these vehicles. And it's actually this remarkable hybridization of urban meets agriculture.
Fascinating. Elizabeth, talk to me a little bit about that, trying to do the challenges of trying to do that and represent that in the context of the World's Fair.
Wow. Where do we begin? I mean, there are no recipes to feed 3,000 people a day. And we have six trucks. The process of defining what those menus have been, especially to translate our you know, iconic American food that's exciting, that's that, you know, it, food trucks are a place for experimentation. They're, you know, a place where you see a lot of like hybridization of cuisines. There are what, like 3 million food trucks in the U.S. And if you look at all the different city centers that have trucks, I mean, they span, you know, cuisines from all over the world. And so to best represent that for us feels like that is at its core American Food 2.0.
Totally.
But for the community that's coming to Expo, you know, 22 million people, and looking at, you know, those demographics and the challenges in feeding that many people, you know, we talk about burgers and the importance of the iconic American burger. We talk about barbecue and how important that is. We want to and are planning to create a menu that is very flexible in bringing in our partners as well. So
partners
at Food Truck Nation. So yeah, so Brand USA is our main sponsor at Food Truck Nation. They are the organization, the marketing arm for the United States government, and they work with all the states and the tourism boards to get people from overseas to come and experience the U.S. And so, you know, in California, if you're Googling California, you see beautiful photos of the Golden Gate Bridge and people surfing, but now you also see tacos and you know, In-N-Out Burger, mm-hmm. and you know, the culinary story is becoming such a core part of what it means to experience America. And so it's really through the food trucks that we're able to build that story and best represent the U.S.
So even there, and I think it's interesting that you, Jordan, are using food trucks to break down barriers. There are some cultural challenges that I know we're facing. Italians who don't like to eat standing up or sure. touch food with their hands or do things that we just take for granted are going to be a hit. And at the same time, if we think of World's Fairs, and this is the same World's Fair in the series of World's Fairs that started in 1851 in London and went through 39 in Flushing and then 64 in Flushing and those sorts of things. We don't always know they continue, but things were introduced like the ice cream cone and the Belgian waffle to the American audience and things we might not have had before in a way that you want to both surprise and I guess provide a new experience, but you're working in this global community and you have to be sensitive to it.
Just responding to that quickly, you know, I think one of the considerations that we had when we started our first food truck, Snow Day, is do people want to hear about criminal justice issues while they're eating lunch?
Right.
And, you know, I think with anything, when you tackle something with real authenticity and with real purpose, some of those assumed barriers dissipate. You know, I mean, there is obvious consideration when it comes to real cultural distinction, but, you know, part of one engaging in the World's Fair is knowing that they're going to be interacting with lots of different countries and lots of different cultures. So, you know, it's seemingly simple and much easier for me to say to you guys, well, if you just go in with authenticity and with genuine purpose, some of those things will potentially subside. But
then there's the challenge of finding the pickle or whatever it is that you're supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah. Because we, you know, there are regulations and importation rules and all that sort of stuff to try to create that authentic experience.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth knows more than anyone about that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had the experience of working on Jordan's truck for a day, and you know, it's all locally driven maple sugar menu, right? So it's focused on Canada, but also like upstate New York,
yep,
and that part of the food shed. And you know, our idea of the food shed in Italy is quite different. And so, you know, when we're trying to source products, there is a conception that everything we'll find will be really high quality. Whereas here you have to dig much deeper to find great product.
And we were, well, and there, and I, it should be said, I guess, there is a history, as I said at the top of the show, of people eating off the street and even from trucks everywhere in the world. I was just in Thailand, where street food is the most exciting I think I've ever seen in my life. Maybe not in trucks exactly, but in Italy itself, Florence has a long tradition of the tripaio, the tripe trucks who sell this lampredotto, which is poor man's tripe. I love that because you think tripe is poor man's food to begin with, and they sell the lower grade tripe, which is an amazing, actually, culinary experience. However, it does come with those connotations that this is not dinner, let's say, or this would never be lunch. So we are trying to bring the American enthusiasm for this to these experiences. Let's talk for a second about there's that social component and that cultural connection that happens, but there's this entrepreneurship thing that I think is really important, and that from our perspective as representing the United States, we also think is really something unique we have to give the world, a sort of optimism of the success of the individual business. And I wonder if for your constituency, Jordan, if that's an important thing for people to learn and to take away from the experience.
I think it's an essential thing for people to learn and take away from the experience. I think you're absolutely right to target that food trucks are and can be a remarkable undertaking for an individual with relatively low barrier to entry financially, and the creativity that's involved in building, you're essentially building a mobile marketing company for yourself. So really identifying how visually you're going to represent your brand, it's a mobile billboard. Mm-hmm. So there, and then with the technology that's in place, I mean, social media is so important for food trucks as well. So you're really allowed direct access to build a brand in a way that is uncommon even in the food world. And for my for the young people who've helped us really build this business, we launched our first food truck a year ago, and so we hired 10 young people last year, and in doing so they really helped grow this whole enterprise together, and already the majority of them are talking about at someday owning their own food trucks, and that is something we 100% support and would love to be able to provide for folks.
Wow. I think we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Taste Matters. When we come back, I want to pick up that theme because we've had some conversations on the show, in fact, about the success of future businesses that come out of food trucks. You're listening to Taste Matters. I'm your host, Mitchell Davis. Welcome back to Taste Matters. I'm your host, Mitchell Davis. If you're listening to the podcast, which I actually presume you're listening to because we are taping this and not live, so and you have questions or comments or you want to chime in about some of the themes we've been talking about Expo, but in Taste Matters in general, you can tweet us and follow us at Taste Matters HRN. I'm talking today with Jordan Lexton, who's the founder and executive director of Drive Change, and also Elizabeth Thacker-Jones, who was the culinary producer responsible for our food truck program at the USA Pavilion at the Next World's Fair Expo Milano 2015. Let's get back to this idea of food trucks, not just as an experience in and of themselves, but as a stepping stone. Probably a year ago, we had David Weber on the show, who was the director of the New York Association of Food Trucks. And he had a statistic that none of the bricks and mortar restaurants started by anyone who had been one of their members has closed at that time had mm-hmm. closed, that you sort of learn a tenacity of doing business and that interaction with your public that I think serves everyone well in a future business setting. And I'm just wondering, after a year of having your food truck, what you've seen happen, change in your community, and how the response has been.
Yeah, the response has been overwhelmingly positive. I think also, too, in part, you know, thinking about food trucks as a stepping stone, it also brings into light the logistics that are challenging around running food truck businesses, depending on where they're located, with permitting regulations and parking and lots of other things that happen.
Weather, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. There's no doubt that the reason that, you know, L.A. is this food truck mecca has a lot to do with the weather. So those are real things. And I think also, too, when thinking about entrepreneurialism, journalism, it's important for us to be responsible and really be transparent about what the barriers to entry in this business is, and it is geographically relevant. Mm-hmm. But you know, in terms of what we've seen over the past year, we've seen a remarkable amount of support. We actually are going to do an offshoot at the Smorgasburg Market this spring. We're not thinking about brick and mortar ourselves because we're actually thinking of building a commissary space where other food truck businesses could park, and it would be at like a commissary 2.0, and we would provide the services, they would pay rent, and they would get a Drive Change affiliation and be required to hire young people out of our program. So that's really our model for growth. But again, because of our social mission and we're a nonprofit for-profit hybrid, we have a little bit of a different trajectory, but we absolutely see demand for our brand.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Elizabeth, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's get to the food. I know it's, you know, you've been working hard. We're trying to negotiate both logistics of a World's Fair, but also what's a representative display of the American food, food trucks and American food, and some of the larger issues of diversity and cultural, I don't know, combinations and things like that. So give us a little bit about
that. The iconic food truck item in the U.S. would be the kimchi taco. For many reasons, not just because it's delicious, but because Roy Choi out in California has built a very strong brand and a very strong following based on, you know, his cultural heritage, based on his understanding of what we want as, you know, folks that want to eat American food 2.0. You know, this is something that is what we'd love to offer a kimchi taco at Food Truck Nation.
At the World's Fair.
At the World's Fair.
But?
Logistically and culturally, I think, you know, we need to make our own kimchi, for example. That right. alone is something to think about, like how many pounds of kimchi we'd have to make a week. For, you know, 5,000 right. people a day.
Wow.
Right, right. And then you'd one would hope any of those 5,000 people, from some of them from Korea, some of them from Italy, would even want a kimchi taco from us, which is one of the interesting challenges of the whole, it's been a thread throughout this whole series. It's like, you have an idea of wanting to represent what you know to be the experience of the United States, but you're doing that in a foreign place to a mostly foreign audience, who comes with a very different set of expectations about what that American experience is, whether it's positive, negative, or neutral. We're faced with having to make that sort of decision. And it just so happens right now in Milan, as we know, there's a tremendous excitement about American food. There are more gourmet burger and excellent gourmet burger shops almost than gelateria now in Milan at this particular moment. And to arrive in that context is a challenge.
Yeah. And we can't forget that, you know, the food truck movement was very much on par with the social media movement. And so the question of would they enjoy a kimchi taco, I think it is connected to our Instagram feeds, is connected to, you know, Twitter, is connected to the amount of visual media and food media that folks have been exposed to. And that, you know, is a huge component of how we know where food trucks are, right?
Right.
Because, you know, Jordan has two feeds, right?
Yeah.
For Drive Change and for the Snow Day truck.
Yeah.
Just to keep people updated on what's going on with all the different aspects of Drive Change.
Well, and that Italian Food Truck Association I mentioned earlier only communicates with its people through Facebook, not even Twitter. They don't use Twitter at all. They get 75,000 people to show up through Facebook.
Which is incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or Facebook, as they probably pronounce it. So I want to sort of, in the last few minutes we have, talk about what might be American food 3.0 in the context of food trucks. You know, to me, they are both literally and figuratively a bit of a transition. They're, you know, the one doesn't expect to live one's entire life or career on a food truck, let's say. And also, you know, that entrepreneurial spirit that they engender and sort of provide an outlet for, and which I think is particularly in Italy right now, which is facing a tremendous economic crisis in many ways, and in profound ways I don't think we totally even understand in America, because we always have assumed, even when times are good or times are bad, we have the agency to do things and improve our station, and we're fortunate to have a culture that represents that. But Italy, not so much, or, you know, a long, long history of that comes with some weight, let's say. What do you think, past that transition, what are we transitioning to? What's the American Food 3.0 iteration of the food truck, or the next generation of our mindset of eating, of socializing, of even personal social development and change? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think we're getting, I think it's already happening in the sense that I think people are really trying to create food experiences. You know, the same way that you go to the theater or you go to any other kind of event that's of the senses. There's this, you know, Dan Barber and Wasted and everything that's happening there. These curated experiences around food that do involve talking and, you know,
thinking,
raising issues, you know, and allowing food to be the medium that provides for that. And I still think that food trucks can really be a part of that, because they are mobile at the end of the day.
Right.
And that's a really valuable asset. You can, you know, 75,000 people coming to a food truck rally. It's, in my mind, I'm like, what are they talking about there?
Right.
You know, that's a lot of audience.
And if they're Italian, you know, they're talking,
yeah,
they're talking about something. Yeah.
But it's the audience factor,
right,
and really what we can do in those spaces. That's very exciting to me.
Well,
And I think clean energy is a part of the movement too.
Talk about that for a second, because one of the challenges, our trucks at Expo will not actually be trucks. They won't have engines, because there is no clean energy food truck vehicle that is allowed on the road there. And those are the restrictions that Expo has put on this sustainable sort of event, global event. So are there things coming that might improve the footprint of the food truck?
Yeah, and again, I think this ties back a little bit to how cities get involved and like different taxes and regulations and other things that cities can do. But it's already started to happen here in New York with Move Systems, which has been, it's basically been reshaping the mechanism. I don't know all the technical things it's doing, but making a food truck not have to use propane anymore and using an alternative, like even a vegetable oil substitute or plugging in. So there aren't enough plug-in stations,
right,
for that to be sustainable at this point. But that becomes also just a larger conversation.
Right.
And certainly in the future, like we recognize that whenever you're working in and around propane, there's an element of safety that's,
right,
also involved in addition to an environmental factor. So for us, thinking in the future, we like to think about induction. We like to think about these other mechanisms for reusable energy.
And Elizabeth, from the food culture perspective, the American Food 3.0 food truck coming down the highway?
Well, also ironically, Italy is mostly plug-in. So,
right,
so those big rallies, they did do them in private spaces where everyone can plug in. I think that it depends where you are, right?
Right.
So nutrition, I think, is a huge part of 3.0. There are pockets all over the country where you know, the delicious quick service food you get is fairly generic. And so there's still a lot of innovation and education to do in the country. But yeah, I mean, QR codes and, you know, technology, I think it definitely is, you know, ordering through Google Glass and having, you know, the ability to continue to use our technology to grow, you know, entrepreneurship, access, because really the food truck is a little microcosm for, you know, all these different things that are important in food systems.
Fantastic. Well, thank you both for joining us. I hope that we'll, well, I know we'll see you in Milan. I hope we'll see you in Milan.
Me too.
Yeah, and then hope we see the people listening in Milan. It's going to be quite an experience. As I said, there's 147 countries. We're just one of them, and each is presenting their unique perspective on the future of food and their food culture and how we'll move forward to feed 9 billion people by 2050 as a global community and the decisions we make. And so we know from our side, President Obama, Secretary Kerry, everyone is very engaged and part of the experience that you'll see when you come to Milan, and we hope that you'll join us in those 6 months and celebrate American Food 2.0. This is Taste Matters. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening,